Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Haunting old photographs are telling a new story about an unfortunate time for some women in Kansas. The pictures are displayed in a tiny museum next to the state prison in Lansing. CJ Genevieve from Here and Now contributor KCUR visited the exhibit and has this story.
The Lansing Historical Museum sits in an old three-room train depot almost within rock-throwing distance of what used to be known as the Kansas State Penitentiary.
I am Jennifer Meyer. I'm the museum site supervisor here at the Lansing Historical Museum.
And the museum's only employee. Not all of her exhibits are about the prison. In the other room, there's a display of historic toys. But I'm here to see a collection of unique photographs. A couple dozen prints of men and women's intake photos. Mugshots as they're about to be incarcerated. Newly digitized from 100-year-old glass plate negatives.
The quality is actually astounding. It's hard to believe that these people lived so long ago, that they're now dead, have been gone for quite a while, and that these pictures are actually from 1902 or from the 1920s.
Meyer wanted to make it easier to share the photos with the public, so she got help digitizing them from Brian Darby, who was an assistant professor of photography at the University of Kansas. Darby was interested in the project because he likes looking at old photos, but he says these photos were mysterious.
All we have is a face to look at. And, you know, there's sorrow and desperation and these kinds of emotions that you can read from a portrait. It's all speculation at that point. I mean, I really don't know the story of these people. I don't know why they were in prison.
But Darby did notice something.
I was surprised by the number of women. I was surprised by how young a lot of them seemed to be.
The Lansing Historical Museum's Jennifer Meyer wanted to know more about these people, too, and found some stories in old small-town newspapers.
All these women were picked up for lascivious conduct.
Not what you think. Consider the case of Carrie Cox and Mary Walker.
The Columbus Daily Advocate liked to report on kind of mundane things, and so it'd be like, Mary Walker visited her cousin this weekend out of town. And so all the way up to the week prior, the newspaper was reporting these two girls, because they were teenagers, having visited family or going to local dances and doing things with the community. And then all of a sudden, there's an arrest.
After a raid on a dance hall.
And that dance hall raid was initiated by a doctor who was with the Public Board of Health.
To enforce something called Chapter 205. That was a quarantine law from around World War I to help prevent venereal diseases. A researcher at the University of Kansas named Nikki Perry learned all about it while working on her dissertation.
So during World War I, as the country was enlisting all these men into the armed forces, they found that a pretty hefty portion of the population had syphilis or gonorrhea. And so this was seen as a major public health crisis, but also a national security crisis because they were concerned about keeping the troops fit to fight.
Perry says health officers could detain women for a couple of days and test them if they were suspected of being promiscuous. If they were sentenced under Chapter 205, they were sent to the women's industrial farm.
The women's industrial farm, as a separate women's prison, opened in the spring of 1917, and they only had like 17 inmates or something, a very small number of inmates, because these were just the typical female inmate population from the state. And then Chapter 205 began to be implemented over the summer and into the fall, and by the end of the year, they had almost 400 women.
That influx of female prisoners made Jennifer Meyer wonder about the other spreaders of venereal diseases.
Well, what is the equivalent for men? How many men were incarcerated for violation of Chapter 205? I actually couldn't find any.
Turns out, Chapter 205 was really only enforced against women. Besides being rounded up in raids, some of them were turned in out of revenge by their boyfriends after they got in fights. Some had been raped. Some didn't have money, so they'd incarcerate themselves for what was, in the days before penicillin, pretty futile treatment for STDs. They were usually quarantined for 2 or 3 months.
And I hate to admit, you know, I grew up in Kansas, I was educated here, and I was not familiar with what Chapter 205 even was. I guess we just didn't talk about it in history class. It's humbling in a way to see this, because these people look just like you and me.
Nikki Perry had a similar feeling.
The pictures are so, they're such high quality that it makes you feel like you're, the woman is standing there and you just really want to know even more about their stories. Who were these women? Where did they work? What, you know, were they married? Did they have children?
The answers to those questions may be lost to the ages, but thanks to Meyer's project, we can at least study these women's faces. For Here and Now, I'm CJ Janovy.
What a story. And you can see some of the photos from the Faces of the Kansas State Penitentiary exhibit at herenow.org. But if you happen to be near Lansing, Kansas, the exhibit is on display at the Lansing Historical Museum through May.